happening in Albania? A lot of people are asking that question these days. A lot of people are wondering what's really going on with the Kushners, with Jared and Ivanka. A lot of people a little curious as to what could really be behind their attempt to purchase a private island with a military installation. Let's go to clip number five first. This is from a Syrian girl at Partisan Girl. She posted this. It's actually from a user named Ash. Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner's private luxury island in Albania is actually going to be an Israeli military base complete with nuclear bunkers. Ivanka and her dad have always had a nuclear bunker nearby. That's why they have no problem starting World War III. Let's watch.
Well, well, well. Turns out that Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner aren't just buying a private island to build a luxury resort. Sazan Island is Albania's largest island and is strategically located, once an isolated, top-secret, Cold War military base featuring thousands of bunkers and miles of tunnels. Now, why in the world would our United States Special Envoy for Peace Missions need an island with all of that? So when Ivanka said this,
the opportunity to help realize its potential and transform it, but with a lot of restraint and care, because the land is so beautiful that really the architecture has to be fully integrated into it, almost rise from it.
That's such a sweet story about preserving the beautiful land and the nature and building the architecture around that. But I wonder if you're building the architecture around something else. It's important to note that the Albanian people are not happy about this, and they're protesting in the thousands, and they're also demanding that the prime minister resign for allowing such a corrupt deal to go through. But again, I'm sure this purchase is just to build a big, beautiful luxury resort, not a personal bunker on an island. As always, I want to hear what you think about all of this down below.
And the Albanians are not happy with, you know, one of their islands being sold to the Kushners. We can go to this Al Jazeera video about it, clip number nine. This is them trying to, Syrian girl uses Israel as a verb. They're trying to Israel an island in Albania. Let's watch. I'll read along. Albanians fight to save protected wetlands from Trump's son-in-law, chanting Albania for Albanians. It's one of the last untouched coastal areas of the Mediterranean. Jared Kushner wants to turn huge swaths of it into a luxury resort. People chanting, don't defend the oligarchs. Those are citizens' properties. Who do you serve, citizens or the oligarchs? And you see the barbed wire set up. Protesters confronted security guards at the construction site for the project. And thousands have flooded the capital demanding construction be shut down. There's a great public outrage over what's happening in Albania. But the spark was what happened in Zvernik, which everyone saw on social media. An activist being dragged along by the ground by several people wearing black shirts from a security company because he was protesting against a fence that had been installed there illegally. The resort is set to be built in an uninhabited island and nearby lagoon with coastal wetlands. The habitat support nesting turtles and migratory birds. Ivanka Trump infuriated protesters when she described the land as if she and Kushner discovered it.
We were on a friend's boat, and we stopped for a swim. Effectively, that's how we found it.
Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama worked with Kushner to approve the project, estimated at $4 billion in 2024. Anti-corruption authorities have now launched an investigation into the deal after sudden changes to the land's protected status. Resignation, resignation, people are chanting. Kushner and his investors say the project will respect the local ecology. But their plans include building 10,000 hotel rooms and a marina for yachts, which locals say will pollute the protected waters with sewage. So it's kind of typical, isn't it? Jared Kushner, Ivanka Kushner want something, so they get it. And hey, it's protected wetlands. Well, not anymore. The protection status has changed to allow them to do what they want. And they can set up an illegal fence and, I guess, abuse and arrest the protesters there. Because why not? It's worldwide Israel coming soon. Add Albania to the ever-growing list of colonies that the Israelis are establishing. But it gets crazy, folks. The Soroses are in on this.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShield.com.
Folks, War Room Live, final hour is on. Talking about Albania and what exactly Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are up to there. They're making videos defending their attempt to create a giant luxury resort on this defunct military site on an island off the coast of Albania. And the Albanians are not happy about this. Let's go first, clip number 7. This is Ivanka Trump announcing the massive off-grid private island and what they'll be doing with it. Let's go to Ivanka Trump now.
I'm working on an incredible project with my husband in the Mediterranean. It's massive in scale.
I think that's an understatement. Can you explain?
Yes, it is. It is.
There's no power on this island. You're building everything from scratch. Correct.
Well, it's an unbelievable, beautiful 1,400-hectare private island in the middle of the Mediterranean. We were on a friend's boat, and we stopped for a swim. Effectively, that's how we found it. We swam to the islands. We went on a hike, barefoot all the way up to the top, and we were just captivated. And it stayed with us ever since. And over the course of many years, we developed the opportunity to help realize its potential and transform it, but with a lot of restraint and care because the land is so beautiful that really the architecture has to be fully integrated into it, almost rise from it. You know, it's not even a business for me, despite the scale of it. We not only the island, but we have 5 miles of beachfront directly across from the island, this beautiful peninsula with a lagoon on one side, the ocean on the other, beautiful white sand beaches. For me, it feels more like a challenge than anything else. The culmination of all of my experience in real estate, all of my travel, a lot of reflection on how I want to live, how I think people increasingly are wanting to live, and trying to really build something that's a tangible manifestation of that. That requires a lot of vision, the collaboration of some of the greatest masters that exist. So I was just there walking the land, really just trying to sort of be with it and experience it alongside some of the greatest living architects of our time, like true masters of their craft, people with integrity so absolute, like there will be no compromise. And that's something we want to create there. So we're very excited.
Wow. Amazing. So uplifting. So inspiring. I loved Glenn Greenwald's response to this video you just watched. He says, the most darkly funny aspect of this video is that Ivanka Trump speaks as if she went on some profound, prolonged spiritual and philosophical journey to ascertain the meaning of life and concluded that the most elevated human state is to live on a gigantic private island in the Mediterranean in a sprawling mansion paid for with the billions of dollars given to her husband by the Saudis and Emiratis to ensure favorable treatment by him and her dad in their exercising of powers of the American presidency. Real uplifting stuff. Real incredible stuff. She walked barefoot to the beach. It was just amazing. Just so amazing. I picture them. I mean, they were saying similar stuff about like Gaza, you know, just beautiful and amazing. Here's Jared Kushner describing it. Clip 8. Turns out the friend's boat they were on when they made this spontaneous swimming excursion that changed their lives and enlightened them to the beauty of Albania. I was Nathaniel Rothschild's boat, of all people. Isn't that interesting? Let's watch.
I was on a vacation after we left government in the summer of 2021. We were on our friend Nat Rothschild's boat. We got picked up in Montenegro, and then we started sailing over to Corfu, and we spent a couple days in Albania. One of the nights there, Prime Minister Rama came to the boat. I had not met him when I was in government, but I was very, very impressed with his vision for what he wanted to do with Albania. I really didn't know anything about the country. I didn't understand the history, and the darkness of the history with the communism and the terrible leadership actually led to it being fully undeveloped as a nation. But Eddie came in. He has one of the cool things I was attracted to is the fact that he seemed like a very skilled politician, as a very strong and smart leader, but also the fact that he was an artist. I thought it'd be very cool to see what a country really led and built by an artist could be, somebody with amazing taste and great creativity. And so I was just intrigued by it. And then before we went to Corfu, we stopped in Butrent, which was also a spectacular sight, and just really felt to me like it showed the potential of the country. So much amazing beauty, the water. We did a lot of swimming, a lot of hiking. The country just had incredible natural beauty, but it seemed like a place that nobody knew or understood. And so didn't think much about it for about a year. And then about a year later, we started looking at opportunities in the Balkans. And the partner who's leading that effort, I said, you know what, let's go down to Albania. I had such a good experience there. Go check it out, see if there's something there. And we were immediately drawn to where they were building an airport in Vlorë. And obviously a country is going to build an airport by the coast in the place that they think is the most beautiful. So we went there, we looked for opportunities, and we were able to find some incredible, incredible opportunities. So this really came from obviously a passion, and it came from the desire to build something that I think could be truly unique in the world.
Wow. Amazing. Incredible. Jared Kushner admits Nate Rothschild helped him secure a remote private island during yacht vacation. I mean, yeah, seriously, could you be more out of touch with they picked us up in Montenegro, and we spent a while yachting around Corfu during the off season. It's just like, you people. And remember, Jared Kushner was supposed to not, like, President Trump promised on the campaign trail. He said, Kushner's out. We're not doing anything. He's not going to be a part of this at all. We've heard you. You didn't like Kushner being involved the first time. He's not going to be involved. Suddenly, he has basically become the main negotiator for all of this. And, of course, you remember he was with Steve Witkoff when Witkoff made a little bit of a slip that old Kushner had been planning the redevelopment of Gaza for about a year before October 7th ever happened. Whoops, kind of let that one slip a little bit. And they've been working on Albania since at least 2024. I'll tell you that story in just a second. But Albania's not very happy with Elder of Zion, Jared Kushner. They're actually very angry about this. Over 100,000 Albanians shut down the capital in furious protest. Trump and Kushner are selling off the Albanian coastline to Jewish billionaires and Israeli military projects. The south of the country is being handed over to foreign control. Here's what the protests looked like in the capital city. See, they don't want the Kushners to be there, but the Kushners do want to be there. So who do you think is going to win? People of the country or the international billionaires? Who do we think is going to win this contest? So Kushner's one of these people, has been raised from birth to assume his role as, you know, unelected leader of the world for some reason. But the people of Albania are not happy about it, and now Albania has responded to the outrage by launching a corruption investigation, and they've now frozen the assets in Kushner's resort probe. A widening property fraud investigation into a $4 billion luxury resort linked to Jared Kushner has led Albanian authorities to freeze developer assets, compounding pressure from public protest and international critics. Albanian anti-corruption prosecutors on Tuesday froze the bank account of a land-holding company tied to a controversial $4 billion luxury resort project backed by Jared Kushner, President Donald Trump's son-in-law. The escalating crisis over the coastal developments has triggered mass protest, a sharp diplomatic rift with neighboring Greece, and stern warnings from the European Union. But of course, I imagine that as we speak, American diplomats are, you know, calling their Albanian counterparts into meetings and threatening you know, military action from America if they don't serve the Kushner's private, you know, personal property profile, family business. Then I saw this post and I had me asking some questions. Henry Fjord on X says, it's so funny how people think there are different sides, with a picture of Alexander Soros from this week, pointing and hugging the president of Albania, the very same president that Jared Kushner was just singing the praises of. He's an artist. He's an artist. So he doesn't really know how to manage political affairs. So we're able to take advantage of him pretty well. And apparently George Soros, also best friends with him. My brother, Adir Amal, turned 60 last week. It was an honor to spend time in Albania together. You're an inspiration to the world, brother. 60, it's the new 40. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Kushner's and the Soros's in it together. So I look into it. I go, why do the Kushner's and the Soros's both seem to be in Albania right now? Well, why are they working together? What is this? And is this more than just, you know, an Israeli outpost? Because that's what it seems to be. Because it seems like in Argentina and Patagonia, they're setting up sort of a mini Israel satellite state. They're doing it in Albania. They're doing it on other islands off the coast of Greece. They're doing it in Ukraine. They're doing it in Russia. So then you have this from November 14th, 2024. Alexander Soros, Jared Kushner, reportedly obsessed with Albania. Billionaire boys, Jared Kushner and Alexander Soros, right? Both, you know, Jewish princes of the, you know, Jewish aristocracy, right? Neither one of them earned anything in their lives. They're both just the children of elite Zionist families. So, of course, they get to manage billions of dollars of unearned money. They may be on the opposite political spectrum. Are they, though? I don't think that's true. But they both reportedly love Albania, a land of newly minted oligarchs. Kushner ruffled feathers earlier this year when he announced plans to build an opulent hotel and beach villa complex on a stretch of the mainland where an Albanian family has farmed for generations. According to the New York Times, the family says part of the property was corruptly seized from them after the end of communist rule in 1991. Kushner also plans to build an international airport near the seaside development and is eyeing another property, a small strategically located island called Sazan. But for Kushner, a noted developer, this is a predictable move, not so much for Soros. Soros, meanwhile, says Tirana, the capital of Albania, is my second home. Soros, whose father is Hungarian, kinda, reportedly travels to the capital of Tirana so often that he's called it my second home, despite the country being a hub for drug trafficking, human trafficking, and money laundering. Why'd they say despite? You know, it's not despite that, I don't think. To be fair, Soros' Open Society Foundation claims to be working with Albanian President Edi Rama on judicial reform, although locals scoff at the prospect. And between 1992 and 2020, the Open Society Foundation invested over $131 million in Albania, supporting Rama's rise to power and then his government. Rama has been almost unopposed in power since 2013. Open Society claims to support 120 countries around the world, baffling many who wonder why it spends so much money and time in Albania when, according to several reports, corruption has declined only slightly during Rama's regime. According to Transparency.org's Corruption Index, Albania is ranked as highly corrupt, with at least 25% of public officials receiving a bribe in the last year. According to the Organized Crime Index, Albania is a source, transit, and destination country for human trafficking. Albanian criminal actors are allegedly responsible for a large number of trafficking victims in Western Europe, especially in the UK, and a majority of women trafficked from Albania. Sexual exploitation of Albanian victims in Western European countries remains the most prevalent form of this crime. It's a transit company for heroin trafficked from Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan through the Balkan route to Europe. Most heroin is trafficked into Albania by land through North Macedonia. Alexander Soros stays in even Haksa's personal home. Sources in Albania tell me frequently on his many trips to Tirana, Soros prefers to stay in the former tyrannical dictator Enver Haksa's personal home rather than a hotel. It's insane, a source told me. To Albanians, that's like going to Germany and staying in Hitler's eagle nest. Haksa was a Stalinist who out-Stalined Stalin, ruling with an iron fist for 41 years until his death in 1985. During that time, he made all personal property, including farm animals, land, and even bees, state property, and went so far as to remove all motors from cars and boats so people could not leave the country. It was referred to as Europe's North Korea. Thousands were imprisoned in harsh labor camps and tortured, while thousands more starved to death during his tenure, while Haksa and his cronies lived largely in Tirana. During Hoxha's reign of terror, the economy tanked so much that up till the early 2000s, Albania was the second poorest country in the world, following Somalia. Why Alexander Storos likes to stay in Hoxha's home, who knows, but it's not right, another Albanian told me. The sprawling homes in the middle of Tirana is a time capsule, as it is to be left in the exact state it was when Hoxha died and is still fiercely guarded despite plans for it to be made into a museum. So how crazy is that? You've got Alexander Soros, son of George Soros, living in the museum-preserved mansion of the Stalinist dictator of Albania that ruled with an iron fist until his death in 1985. The Open Societies Foundation and Alexander Soros are good friends with the current president of Albania, who they bankrolled and helped fund and get into power all the way back in 2013. He also is apparently good friends with the Kushners and has been instrumental in getting the changes to the protected status of the wetlands in order to facilitate their building of this massive complex in the formerly militarized island off the coast there. A lot of like strange connections here. I wonder if we were to look up Hoxha or, Rama, if their family has any ties to perhaps some, famous Zionist families elsewhere. But I think like that, that's the real thing that's happening here. It really is just like they get to dictate the path the countries take, and they don't have a right to. They don't have the approval of the people in those countries. However, they have enough money from, in the case of Soros, crashing the currency of England. And, of course, he did that with Scott Bessent. Scott Bessent was the mind behind a lot of the methods by which George Soros has increased his wealth on the back of taxpayers around the world. And they get to take this money and bribe presidents and manipulate political systems and, build these giant private resorts, and they just get to do it. They get to do it. And if Albania tries to stop them, I can pretty much guarantee you that diplomats in America are going to intervene and say, Albania gets a lot of help from America. That help can go away if you don't, help out our friends here. Of course, it doesn't benefit America at all. This isn't in America's interest, but people like Kushner and Soros use the power of America to progress their own, personal agenda, even though, again, they're totally unelected and basically their participation in American politics has been relentlessly negative. Doesn't matter. They're the princes. They're the princes, and so they get to do whatever the hell they want. Michael Vachon, a rep for Soros, said in an email, Eddie Rama, who has been a leader in efforts to build regional cooperation, enhancing freedom of movement and goods between and among Western Balkan countries. Rama was one of the founders of Open Balkan and other initiatives such as the Growth Plan, which aimed to increase economic cooperation in the region, a goal supported by the Open Society Foundation. The foundation in Tirana, which has a proud three-decade legacy with contributions in education, democracy, and freedom of media, is in the fight against corruption. Albania has carried out the toughest judicial reforms in cooperation with the U.S. and EU Department of Justice. Let's just hope this justice reform in Albania is not like the one Soros spearheaded in the United States when ultra-liberal district attorneys took a soft-glove approach to criminals and crime soared. This election cycle, many were routed out of office by Americans fed up with their quality of life plummeting. Vachon said he didn't think Soros stay in Hoxha's home. He didn't think Soros stayed in Hoxha's home, but couldn't confirm. Not exactly surprising that there's a strange connection between the former communist dictator of Albania and George Soros, and that they would have direct connections to the Kushners, who, of course, themselves were like longtime family friends with the Netanyahus. And it's like, yeah, these are the families that run the world. They just do. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, they don't have a right to do it. They don't have justification for doing it, but they have the power to do it. So they do it. And that's it. Like, we're just letting them do it, I guess. Of course, Albania is trying not to let them do it. And again, I think they'll probably experience some backlash to that from the American government. And then let's go to this video, actually. Forgot to find which number it is. It's in the Israeli section, because Jared Kushner, again, No official position in the United States, as far as I know, or at least he's not supposed to have one. I guess he's like technically a, it's not ambassador, but, you know, diplomatic envoy or something like that. But of course, he wields inordinate power through this position and is, of course, planning on making billions of dollars through rebuilding Gaza and all that other stuff. Jared Kushner says countries that normalize with Israel through the Abraham Accords will be rewarded with investment money and political backing. He says new economic packages are being prepared to deepen normalization and pull more countries into the Accords, while highlighting Morocco as a model and Syria as a possible next target. Kushner openly frames alignment with Israel as a gateway to wealth, status, and foreign investment. So again, this is, I guess, technically a spokesperson for America using America's power and America's influence to get good deals for Israel. Let's watch.
And to promote the Abraham Accords to, you know, make the ones that are existing stick, and then also to find new opportunities. So I have a partner, my partner, Asher, who I mentioned before, he's actually of Moroccan descent and actually of Syrian descent. So we've been looking, maybe there's some opportunities to bring investment to Morocco, a country that I know you're very proud of, to really help them create dividends from the Abraham Accords. And so to show the people there that there can be great rewards, because leaders who join the Abraham Accords, it shows that they're thinking about the future. They're pushing for stability. It shows a lot of wisdom and a lot of forward thinking. So those are the environments where I think investors would want to be in. And I have a lot of, you know, American investors who are very who love the Abraham Accords, who want to join us in that. So we're looking at opportunities to invest in countries who have joined the Abraham Accords, but we're also looking at opportunities to invest in countries that might join the Abraham Accords and to create economic packages to incentivize them. So another one of my partners is Syrian, and he said, Jared, we should put together a big investment package maybe for Syria, so that if they join the Abraham Accords, they could have a big incentive to do it. How amazing would it be to have, you know, a Muslim and Jewish firm working, Jewish partners, you know, with American, you know, working together to try to bring investment there. So something we're looking at. Obviously, there are some complications, but I think there's a ton of potential there. And if they were to join the Abraham Accords, I think that there's a lot of people who would want to invest there to help give them the best chance to achieve their full potential.
So as David Miller at tracking_power puts it, here's Jared Kushner spelling out how Pax Judaica will spread in West Asia and North Africa via the Abraham Accords. It will subjugate the whole region for the Jewish state and become a Jewish empire. The same process is happening in Latin America via their Isaac Accords. It's coming unless it's stopped. And yeah, again, you know, the Abraham Accords are not for America's benefit. It's basically an agreement to provide American money to countries that agree to normalize relations with Israel. Like, the Abraham Accords were the catalyst behind October 7th, right? Because there was this process of normalization going on, and basically they said, we'll normalize with Israel. Israel will normalize relationships with you, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, all these countries. You just have to drop the whole Palestinian freedom movement. So the Palestinians saw that process going on and thought, we better interrupt this. We have to stop this process from going forward, or else they're going to systematically basically take over every country in the region through economic incentives. And at the end of it, the Palestinians will be left without any allies, and the Israelis would be able to convert Al-Aqsa Mosque into a third temple and eradicate all of them once and for all. So that's what Al-Aqsa Flood, the attack on October 7th, was trying to stop, because they recognize the real purpose of the Abraham Accords, as Kushner does as well. Use American power to force countries to bend the will to Israel, and they'll expand as much as they can.
So it's real simple. If you want to keep this broadcast on the air, if you want to see us hire more hosts, more reporters, and expand, go to thealexshowstore.com and get the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and so much cool stuff. The problem is the really cool products they get, like the Faraday bags and the wallets and the knives. It's all great. They sell out so quick and they can't get the supply of them. But I want to thank you all for your support. So they give away an amazing American super vehicle, usually an off-road truck or SUV or sports car, every month. But every month of the last week, there is a special time where every purchase you get gets put into the sweepstakes 100 times, every dollar you spend. And most winners do it during this last week. And then you get $10,000 per vehicle when you win it. Nobody's ever won two vehicles at once. It's over 12 vehicles they're giving away now, or 14 vehicles. So this week until Friday at midnight, it's by law, it's all sweepstakes company. Every order you make, every dollar you spend at theauctionstore.com, you get put in 100X to win the souped-up custom H1 Hummer, and the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack, plus $20,000 cash, or $10,000 each if you just want one vehicle. I can't wait till somebody wins both. Every dollar spent, 100x entries at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's a big league thing that, you know, they're our sponsor, main funder. I was never really a sweepstakes guy, but now I like it because listeners love it. And, you know, we fly the winners in. We're building a bigger studio. As soon as that's done, we'll have winners in again. So take action on that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me just say this again. All I want to do is steer you right. I would not sell you something that doesn't work, because I want you to like me in the show, and I also want you to want to get it again. I use the analogy all the time. If I owned a restaurant, it would have real quality, delicious, wide selection, great atmosphere, great service, reasonable price. I want to have the restaurant that has lines around the block every time. I don't want to, you know, you don't need Google to know who's got a good restaurant when you're even some small town middle of nowhere. I'll be driving along with family. Hey, let's search reviews. This town coming up. I go, I'm not looking at a review. Human intelligence. I'm going to pull into town and I'll drive through the town and say, okay, that place has five cars at it. That has 20. That has a line out the door. If I'm not in a big hurry, I'd rather go to the one with a line out the door. If I'm in a hurry, let's go to the one that's full at least. And then I get this incredible meal. You can buy fake Google reviews. I don't go off that. I go off the reality. And if you don't get our ultramethylene blue or ultramethylene red or Irish CMOS or Shilajit or our bovine colostrum or our T3 iodine is the best, you are insane. You're not just getting the very best products that'll blow you away. You're funding an organization proven to piss off tyrants and change the world for the better. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. There's a big mega sale one day going right now. 40% off Methylene Red, Atomic Defense Boom Booster, Methylene Blue Tincture, Methylene Blue Gummies, MK Ultra Brain Booster, Warcry Smelling Salts, 35% off Zeolite Detox, Spike Protein, Heavy Metal Detox, Zeolite Tincture, Creatine Powder, the very best, CMOS Capsules, Methylene Blue Caps, 30% off Iodine Tincture, CMOS Gummies, Trilogy Caps and Gummies, Ultimate Chill and Energy, and so much more. And that funds the second American Revolution worldwide. So you have until Friday at midnight central to get in to win either or both of the vehicles, 100 times entries, but that's just a fun thing you do. You're missing out if you don't get the incredible products. And by the way, I was like, what are smelling salts for? I was ignorant. They're like, oh, they're a best seller, sir. We're selling. It's a big seller now. I guess if you're going to lift weights or you want to wake up without coffee, just smell this. My God, you're awake. You're a truck driver or whatever, you know. Don't have to drink too much coffee or whatever. Just get this. Warcry Smelling Salts. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Folks, I think I got an answer to the question about Albania. Matt Baker, credit to him, he just texted me. Did you know that Albania is the most homogenous and racially consistent country in Europe? Did you know that? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts? Albania is one of the most ethnically homogenous countries in Europe, with ethnic Albanians making approximately 96% to 98% of the total population. So I think I figured out why Soros and Kushner have a sudden overwhelming urge to invest in Albania to help them to open up their society. God, they're too closed. They're too white. We've got to fix that. We've got to fix that problem. I mean, we are here to offer you things. Actually, we're here to make your life better. Actually, we're going to invest in you. Certainly, investments don't come along with gigantic cable-sized strings attached. Of course not. Let's talk about the Jews, shall we? Let's get into it. Let's talk about it, because it's not Israelis necessarily, but we are lucky enough to be privy to the Republican Jewish Coalition, where Representative Randy Fine has gone out of his way to thank the Republican Jewish Coalition for helping to remove Thomas Massie from the United States government with foreign funding. He says anyone that opposes Israel will be removed from the United States government. They deserve it. Let's go to clip number 12 here.
As we have shown, the evil that comes out of his mouth and the evil of so many like him. I served with two anti-Semites, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey. One we got to quit, and the other, thanks to all of you, we beat. And we're very, very lucky. Whereas Democrats 20 or 30 or 40 years ago had anti-Semitism show up in their party, and they minimized it, and they said it was the fringe, and they didn't deal with it, and it took over their party, the leader of our party said he wasn't going to deal with that. We often say that Donald J. Trump is the greatest friend that Israel's ever had, but that doesn't go far enough. Donald J. Trump is the greatest friend American Jews have ever had because he stands up and he fights for all of us.
You had the CEO of the Republican Jewish Coalition reflect and you know, acknowledge the same reality, saying over the past few months, the Republican Jewish Coalition spent more than $5 million to defeat Thomas Massie, again, probably the greatest Republican in office at this point, removed by the American Jews. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. Let's watch clip number 14 now.
Over the past few months, the RJC spent more than $5 million to defeat Thomas Massie. And let me say very clearly tonight that was a fight worth having and a victory worth celebrating. When someone repeatedly undermines support for Israel, traffics in isolationism at a moment of global danger, and refuses to stand with the Jewish state when it matters most, there has to be consequences.
Yes, overwhelming and inappropriate consequences for daring to moderately oppose our genocidal activity in the Middle East and paying for it also. There have to be consequences felt. Okay, so again, you know, it's kind of similar to like the war in Iran where it's obvious that Israel is at fault. At the end of the day, everybody says it, right? Marco Rubio said it was Israel. Hegseth said it was Israel. Even Trump admitted it was Israel by accident. And then they turn around and go, you're an anti-Semite for saying that it's Israel. Well, we just saw Randy Fine at the Republican Jewish Coalition say that it was for opposing American Jews that Thomas Massie was ousted. The CEO of the Republican Jewish Coalition said that he needed to be made an example of, punished, suffer consequences for daring to oppose the Jews, which is interesting because before the election, or maybe this is shortly after the election, conservative thought leader Ben Shapiro, clip number 23, had this to say about Thomas Massie. Let's watch.
Not a surprise that Massey's friends are all of the most conspiratorial anti-Israel people on planet Earth. That would include Cenk Uygur, right, who put out a tweet, if Representative Thomas Massie loses tomorrow, the Republicans will become Israel's party. It's about Israel. By the way, it's not about Israel. I'll explain in a moment. Republicans will give them as much of our money as possible and go to war for them whenever they ask. Israel 100% control the GOP because every member will be scared to death of opposing them. Now, again, the reason why Massie is in hot water here has nothing to do with his stance with regard to Israel. It has everything to do with his stance with regard to conspiratorial nonsense about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he has voted against a wide variety of President Trump's priorities in Congress. He's sort of a Ron Paul figure who votes against large priorities of the Republican Party, which has ticked off President Trump pretty extraordinarily. Massie is trying this dumb routine. Massie himself is out there saying that Israel is trying to buy his seat in Congress. Again, my dude. Like this tactic is one of the dumbest tactics. I just have to say, it's a tactic made for stupid people.
Oh, you're so stupid.
Okay, the reality is that people who are pro-Israel do not like Thomas Massie because Thomas Massie has engaged in every conspiracy theory it is possible to engage in and has made common cause with the most anti-Israel people. That's true. But the reason that Thomas Massie is actually in trouble is because the Trump administration has decided to oppose him on the basis of completely other issues. And so the usual game that is now played right now on the right, in the very podcastistan right, the game that is played is there will be a critique that has nothing to do with Israel.
Nothing
and the first thing you do is you claim that it's about Israel.
Yeah.
In an attempt to gin up the crazier part of the Republican base.
See, if you think Thomas Massie was ousted over his views of Israel, if he was ousted by the Jews, you're an idiot. You're so stupid. I can't believe how stupid you are to think that that's actually true. You idiot. I mean, what else is there to say? What more is there to say, folks? Could you ever trust Ben Shapiro ever again? Did you trust him in the first place? You know, it's just, it was as obvious then as it is now, but it's nice. It's nice to see the Republican Jewish Coalition, you know, come out and celebrate and admit that, yes, it was because of Thomas Massie's opposition to Israel that American Jews poured money into defeating him. Yeah, we know. No, we're aware, and we're aware that Ben Shapiro is also aware of that and is lying to cover it up because he's not motivated by the truth. He's not motivated by what's best for America. He's motivated by ethnic supremacy. Just like John Podoretz, who, of course, celebrated the role that Jewish money played in defeating Representative Thomas Massie. Let's watch this absolute freak.
It's a good thing if Massie and the people like him and others believe that if you cross the line into anti-Semitism, Jews are going to use the power that we have openly to go for you. Because what other recourse is there? Are we just going to sit here and take it, beg for scraps, hope that nice people are nice to us? The Democratic Party is going explicitly anti-Semitic. We can see it happening. People are getting benefits, as Seth says, for being anti-Semites. That seems to be part of an appeal in primaries to the left and the party. We have to use what means there are at our disposal. And in my view, and I'm going to put it blank, that is Jewish money. There is an enormous amount of Jewish money in politics, by which I mean Jewish donors, wildly disproportionate, not only charitably, but politically. And when I say charitably, I mean nobody really knows the numbers. Jews make up 2% of the population, according to some studies. Jews make up 20% of the charitable contributions made in the United States annually. That is a tenfold. Think about that. Think about the disproportion of that. And in politics, it's pretty close also. And if that money isn't used, what? Why do people give money? Because they want to influence elections to get people elected who reflect their views. Well, this is an existential issue for Jews. And the Jews who explicitly give money because they want to make it clear to anti-Semitic candidates that they are going to have to go through a buzzsaw and that they are not going to simply waltz in and be, you know, be, if they're treated with kid gloves by the New York Times, we are double time going to do what we can to expose who they are, to find out what we can find out about them that will harm them, and that we will do what we can to prevent them from taking office. What other choice does American Jewry have?
You can not do any of that. The other choice is to not be corrupt tyrants, I think, would be the other option. Of course, then you would have to not kill a bunch of Palestinian children. So that's sort of incompatible, unfortunately, for you. Do you remember we talked about the doctrine of severity? Do you remember from the protocols of the elders of Zion, the doctrine of severity? That it doesn't matter that Thomas Massie's not actually an anti-Semite. You have to let these people know. You have to let the politicians know. They have to be 100% on board with the globalist scheme or they will be destroyed. Okay, and they'll brag about it. All right, it's the doctrine of severity and it's very effective. And look, they really are getting way too comfortable with this stuff. Let's go to this video from Chris Menahan at InfoLib News, one of the best sources for these videos. This is Israeli ambassador to the UN, Donny Dannon, saying, I hope cameras don't record this, which is weird because he's on a stage. It's kind of ironic. But he says, not clip 21, it's this one here. Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, or Dannon, I don't know how you say his name, He says, I was shocked. I told him, what are you talking about? He's talking about Tucker Carlson. So again, this is weird. It's like, he's like, I hope I'm not being filmed. He's literally on a stage. But here is Israeli ambassador to the UN talking about how Jews need to be making lists of enemies. Let's watch.
And if I may, I want to share a story. I hope the cameras will not record it. But I got a phone call during the war from Tucker Carlson. He called me and he told me, Ambassador, can you please take me off the list? And I was shocked. I told him, what are you talking about? He told me, I'm being attacked by the Jews. So maybe you have like a list. Can you take me off the list? So I waited for a minute and I told him, Mr. Carlson, we don't have a list. You are being attacked because you're spreading lies, blood libels against our soldiers. My son was in Gaza when he called me that day. I told him, you're spreading anti-Semitism. You're hosting anti-Semites. So you're being attacked. But you know, when we finished the call, I thought to myself, Norm, maybe we should have a list. Maybe it's about time we put a list of those who promote anti-Semitism online, of those who are hosting anti-Semites on podcasts, and fight back. And I think we have to do it because it's not going anywhere. It's going to be with us, and it's brutal. It's a war, and we have to stand up and fight it.
And we can make lists, too. We can all make lists. Wouldn't that be fun? The weird thing is, this was the same thing that Huckabee said to Netanyahu. Y'all remember when they made that creepy video where everybody thought Netanyahu was dead, and it's him and Mike Huckabee, and it's Huckabee being like, I hope I'm not on your kill list. And he's like, you're on the good list, buddy. It's like, yeah, no, it's very funny. The group of people who most often utilize targeted killings in their foreign policy or in their public relations or in their everyday life, just joking about killing American media stars for daring to oppose them. The ambassador to the UN making these funny, lighthearted comments about how they're going to create a kill list to murder Tucker Carlson, American journalist, for daring to point out the inhumane, vicious, genocidal behavior of Israel in Gaza. It's very funny. It's very funny when they say things like that. Let's go to clip number 22 here, because since we're talking about Tucker, Tucker was being interviewed by a woman, and they got onto the topic of Gaza. And of course, Tucker Carlson's exactly right. And this is the problem that Israel is running up against. This is the problem that Jews are running up against, is that their positions are in favor of genocide, and the cover-up's not working out anymore. And so it's not like you can go, well, I think it's genocide, but you think it's self-protection. Everybody thinks it's genocide. You're just in favor of it. And that's not a great look, guys. So here's Tucker Carlson basically laughing at this woman for trying to defend what's going on in Gaza. Let's watch.
What do you think of Gaza?
What do I think of Gaza?
Yeah.
I think the war in Gaza, to start with, was a perfectly reasonable response in response to the horrors of October 7th. I think now the places, I mean, I've been there. Have you been to Gaza? I've been to Gaza since the war started.
They would not let me into Gaza. 70, trust me, very few 70, journalists get into 000. Gaza.
Yeah, no, I went with the IDF. It's the only way that you can go in, but nonetheless, you go in no and way. You see a flattened place. I think it is a disaster for the future of Israel, a disaster for the Palestinian people, a horror, 70,000 people dead.
Why would you describe it first as a disaster for the future of Israel? You've got tens of thousands of civilians murdered, but it's foremost a disaster for the future of Israel? No,
foremost.
It's foremost a disaster for the families of the dead kids.
Absolutely. I made 3 points.
Because sucks up to Israel in this way that suggests they're afraid. And everyone is afraid, and you know that. Everyone's like, the real problem is calling people anti-Semites allows real anti-Semites to flourish. It's like,
okay,
no, actually, the real problem with calling people anti-Semites who aren't is accusing the innocent of a crime they didn't commit. And the real crime in Gaza is killing people who did nothing wrong. So those are the real problems, I would say. But no one can say it, because you have to be like, oh, no, but really, October 7th
I don't know what you're talking about, Gaza. We're having a...
Everyone watching this knows what I'm talking about.
Well, let's get on to that right now.
Yeah.
Because you...
Everyone watching knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, we do. Now we get it. And she gets it, too. I mean, she knows exactly what he's talking about. And it's really... It's not working anymore. Long story short, it's just not working anymore. And, you know, this is what we need. We need global mass opposition to Israel at every pass. That's the only thing that's going to solve this. Like, they should be kicked out of Eurovision. They should be kicked out of the World Cup. They should not, their people should not be welcomed anywhere as tourists. I mean, as individuals, we got to like stand up against this. And as a collective, we have to stand up against it. And it is happening. And the Israelis are being humiliated absolutely everywhere. They don't care, though, because they have power and they're just going to continue to do whatever the hell they want until you stop them. But it is good to see these people just getting smacked down right to their faces. Let's go to this. Israeli diplomat Waleed Gadban got humiliated and silenced at the UN in Geneva. So this is a meeting about labor unions, I suppose. It's this one here from Parody Jeff. Israeli diplomat Waleed Gadban, humiliated and silenced at the UN in Geneva, couldn't even finish his speech as people shut him down completely. Jews are melting down because the world is done listening to their lies, it says. Clip number 10 here. Let's watch. So those are the fellow UN diplomats stomping their feet and banging their desks to stop the Israeli representative from talking.
By deciding that we adopt the decision regardless. The procedure was infected. Undone in a way that should not be impeached.
Yeah, so again, I'm completely in favor of this. Just drown them out. Just bang on the table, drown them out. I mean, they're just lying. They're just full of crap. I mean, even when they're not lying, even when, like, they're kind of telling the truth, it's still ridiculous what they're saying. Like, it's clip 23 here, or 21, rather. This is Israel's ambassador in the UN complaining that Hezbollah is using drones to fight their soldiers. It's like, these freaking people, they literally think it should be illegal to oppose them. They literally think they should be able to go into your country with tanks and missiles and planes and take over your country. And if you dare to oppose them, they claim it's illegal and will try to stop you through the UN. And it's just like, shut up. Shut the hell up. Let's watch.
This is an example of a drone used by Hezbollah. This is what we are dealing with. Now, Hezbollah are using different kinds of drones.
Oh, my gosh, you poor babies.
Use them with fiber optic.
Oh, my God, not fiber
these
optics.
Weigh less than 2 kilograms.
Oh, they're not allowed
it
to do that.
Low. It is very difficult to detect.
Oh, my God. Well, they should
and
let you detect
time
it.
You hear it above your head, it's too late.
Well, good. You deserve it. Whatever, we can take it down. I mean, literally that. I mean, like, who does that? They are literally murdering thousands of people in Lebanon. Their official policy is for every one Hezbollah drone, they're going to destroy 10 buildings, kill 100 people. They are rolling in there with advanced tanks. They are bombing Lebanon with jet fighters and, you know, missile launches from 1,000 miles away. And then they go to the UN and they say, look, these regular people in Lebanon, the militia, the civilian militia in Lebanon is using drones to attack us. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. How dare they? Completely. They literally think they should be able to kill you with impunity and that you fighting back is the bad thing. It's anti-Semitic. Basically, if you're Hezbollah and you're using drones, it's anti-Semitic. Or if you're an American and you want your politician to represent you, it's anti-Semitic. It's anti-Semitic to oppose the Jews in any possible way. The Albanians, give your country over. The Lebanese, give your country over. Americans, give your country over. Otherwise, you are trying to do another Holocaust and you will be put on the list. Okay? Glad we have that understood clearly. Thanks, Jews. We do have some good news here. We have some interesting breaking news. The House has voted to rebuke Trump over the war in Iran. The House of Representatives offered a rare rebuke to President Trump on Wednesday, passing a Democrat-led measure to end his war in Iran over objections from Republican leadership. It was one of two Democrat-led measures opposed by the White House that advanced in the GOP-led House. Lawmakers passed a motion that would unlock a vote on sending aid to Ukraine. The Iran War Powers Resolution, offered by Representative Meeks of New York, the top Democrat on the Foreign Affairs Committee, has been headed for a vote before the House left for its Memorial Day recess May 21st, but it was abruptly pulled from the floor when it appeared too many Republicans were absent to defeat it. On Wednesday, it passed 215 to 208, with four Republicans joining the Democrats in voting yes, including Thomas Massey, Tom Barrett of Michigan, Brian Fitzpatrick, and Warren Davidson of Ohio. The resolution directs Trump to remove U.S. armed forces from hostilities with Iran unless Congress votes to declare war or authorizes using military force against it. It would not force him to end the conflict, however. It is a symbolic expression of disapproval of the war with Iran. But remember, when it comes to what Israel wants, the rules don't matter. The laws don't apply, okay? There is a 60-day period in which the president can, you know, carry out military operations before it has to be put to a vote. That 90-day window passed, or 60-day window passed a month or more ago, and yet it continues. It doesn't matter, right? Like, Israel wants it, so it's happening. The laws of the Constitution, be damned. The rules of procedure in Congress, who cares? They're doing it, they're getting it done, and there's no legal precedent or predicate that will stop them, okay? But it's good this is happening. We can go to clip number 16 here. Al Jazeera confirms a massive Pentagon disaster. Let's watch.
Let's bring in Almigdad Al-Rohid, who joins us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Almigdad, how is this latest exchange being framed in Iran?
Well, actually, fully, this another chapter in a pattern of reaction, of action and reaction between United States and the Iranian here, especially in the front of the Strait of Hormuz and Qishm Island and the cities overlooking to the Strait of Hormuz, has been unfolding over the past 2 weeks. Actually, the story from here is being framed as a response for the attacks of from the United States, what they call the United States aggression on Iranian oil tanker. After that, a renewed attack on IRGC communication facilities in Qishm Island in southern of Iran. And in response to that, the IRGC stated clear that they attacked the United States 5th Fleet in the region, and also the base to helicopters in the region. So
again, our bases have been destroyed. The war was lost as soon as it began. We are in a worse position now in terms of nuclear development or the Strait of Hormuz. Both cases were better before the war started. It's time to end it. It's time for Congress to end it.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.